The gospel reading this morning is from John's gospel, the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of John's gospel continues this long series of long readings in John's gospel. They're very long, and so what that requires of people in the 21st century with short attention spans is a greater attention span than most of us give to long readings. If you find yourself wandering, there's always the tried and true tradition of Sunday afternoons for Bible reading. Speaking of quaint practices, John's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Let us, heart and mind open, attend to the gospel. Now, a certain man named Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was from the town of Bethany in the village where Martha and Martha's sister Mary lived. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, the one who you love is sick. Jesus said, this sickness will not lead to death. It's for God's glory and that the Son of God might be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha. He loved Mary, her sister, and he loved Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he waited 2 days. Then he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she came to meet him, but Mary, she stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus answered, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, Martha said. Yes, Lord. I believe this. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world.
When Jesus saw Martha's tears, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have they laid him? She said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to cry.
Jesus began to cry.
And Jesus began to cry.
And Jesus began to cry.
Jesus began to cry.
And 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 Jesus began to cry.
Jesus began to cry.
Jesus began to cry. Jesus began to cry.
And Jesus wept. The Jews who had gathered there said to the crowd, "See how he loved them. See how he loved them." But there were others there who said, "If he opened the eyes of the blind man, why didn't he keep this man alive?"
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. The tomb was a cave with a stone across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said to them. Martha said, "But Lord, there will be a bad odor, for he has already been in there for 4 days." Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me, for I know that you always hear me. But I've said these things for the benefit of those gathered here, that they might hear and come to believe that you sent me." So they took away the stone. Jesus approached the tomb and called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man appeared. His hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen. His face was covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Take off his grave clothes and let him go."
And all the Jews that had visited with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed. This is the gospel of the Lord. May God, who is rich in mercy, grant us insight into this gospel. And with that insight, faith and courage for the living of these days. If only I had not texted her, she would not have driven off the road. If only I had listened better and really heard the clues, then he would still be alive. If only I had left 10 minutes earlier, I would have been there when he needed me the most. If only is such a tragic feeling that in some cases, if only can haunt you for a very long time. It was August, and I was away on vacation when a friend and a pastoral colleague, a colleague serving a nearby church, came by to see me. And of course, I was away because I was on vacation, and it was August. But he left a note for me to read when I returned. And when I did, I read the note. But my friend was already dead. "If only" was the only thing that I could say for years. And it still haunts me If only. Martha is in that terribly anguished state, a mix of anger, of despair, and sorrow, when she confronts Jesus, Jesus who loved her and whom Martha loved, who has strangely arrived later than she expected. After all, Lazarus, her brother, is Jesus' dear friend. He's the one whom Jesus dearly loved, and the text is clear about that. The word is as precise as it can be. It's that ancient word, phileo, the deep, deep human love that close friends have for one another. Scriptures oftentimes use the Greek word agape for God's love. It's this overwhelming love to those who are undeserving. It's oftentimes called a divine love. But the other form of love is a different word, phileo, and it's the human love that we, each of us, has the capacity to love one another deeply. And that's the love that Jesus had for Lazarus. Jesus not only loved Lazarus, but he also loved Martha and her sister Mary, who demonstrated, Mary did, her own love for Jesus by washing his feet, you'll remember, and then drying them with her hair. About as radical an act of love in that culture and maybe any culture you can have. You can't overestimate the depth of love that these four had for each other. So as soon as Lazarus became sick unto death, they called upon Jesus. And it's not altogether clear why he delayed his coming. It's useless to speculate, though a lot of people do. What we know is what the text tells us about our Lord Jesus. He loved. He loved Lazarus, and he did not intend his death to be the end of the story. And that's all we need to know. Only it's not enough for Martha. And we understand that. Her brother has died, and she's in despair. She's caught up in the if-only pain sequence. If only you had arrived on time. You can hear Martha screaming through her veil of tears, Jesus, if only you had come on time, my brother would not have died. Her brother, used in that large term of brothers who sisters and brothers who share such deep affection for one another, almost the way we speak to one another in the church as sister and brother. Martha loved Lazarus that much. If only you had come, my brother would not have died. And what are you doing here now? It's a natural response to the pain of her loss. Doctors have heard the same cry when they arrive too late for a baby's birth or the patient's cardiac arrest, and they arrive too late. It's a despair wailing out loud. The volume and the pitch are usually determined by the depth of the love. Silence is not often an evidence of love in grief. One can hardly blame Martha and Mary for screaming at Jesus. He's the one in whom they have placed all of their hope for life. And it's true when it comes to the end, I believe is what Martha said when Jesus asked whether she believed that he is the resurrection and the life. These two people now, Martha and Jesus, are face to face with death and life, grief and hope. It's a vulnerable place where many of us have been too many times and where many of us live at this moment, right on that edge between despair and hope, grief and hope. Where grief teeters on the edge of hope, where we're most vulnerable, every raw nerve is exposed. In that very place, Jesus, the living Christ, is present. Right at the intersection, right at the edge, grief and hope, he is present. He's not present in some religious, distant way, like a polite funeral director is present always hovering when a family is choosing a casket. The funeral director is always there, always very polite. Jesus is not present like a funeral director. He is present as one who weeps, fully vulnerable. Martha's tears are met by Jesus' tears. I would say to you that in this story and in this moment is the heart of the Christian faith. Right here. In the traditional translation, it's only two verses. But in these two verses, the entire gospel is found. It's the fulfillment of Christmas, the incarnation. God with us is now Jesus wept, meeting Martha's tears and the tears of those who surrounded her with his own tears. The implication of the incarnation, God with us, is visible no more clearly than right here. Perhaps on the cross, which this story is a prefiguring of. Jesus wept is not only the shortest verse in the Bible, it expresses more succinctly than any other passage in Scripture the vulnerable God who comes to us filled with grace and truth. We have heard John say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And here is where we encounter that love most palpably, most viscerally. See how he loved him. The response of the Jews that had gathered there matches our own response. See how he loved him in this encounter. I cannot think of any other passage that more succinctly says, God with us, than the one who stands and weeps for us, and not only for us, but with us. At the moment of grief, each of us wants to know two things. All of us wants to know two things, even if we can't articulate them very well at that moment. You want to know that you're not alone in this dreadful sorrow that you are experiencing. And you want to know that death is not the last word. That's it. Am I alone? And is death all there is? Everyone wants to know an answer there. That's true for Martha. It's true for Mary, and it's true for you and me and the whole company of anyone who has ever grieved. Am I right? The gospel tells us that Jesus loves, that Jesus weeps, and that Jesus shows us that death is not the final word. Death is a painful word. It's a wound that pierces the soul, and it casts darkness over everything. And when you are at that moment when your soul is pierced, it's as if there is no light. The death of the young is the most grievous of all. Yet our gospel teaches us that death is not the last word. It's not the last word. The last word is life, eternal life. That's the hope of the gospel. It's the hope to which we cling. The resuscitation of Lazarus is just a foretaste of what's to come in the one who has power over life and death. In Jesus' demonstration over life, over death, is precisely what led to his own death. The victory remains tattooed on our hearts in that wonderfully spine-tingling cry of Jesus at the grave of his dearest friend. I want you to do it with me after I do it. We're going to do it in a really loud voice. Lazarus, come out!
Lazarus, come out!
Lazarus, come out! Yeah. That is the power of life over death. Unbind him and set him free. That is the cry of the gospel. Unbind her. Set her free. The vulnerable Jesus who loves us is the vulnerable Jesus who weeps with us. And in this Jesus, we know that death is not the final word. Life is. Amen.